Well, good morning and welcome back to another edition of the Wildcats 30. The Wildcats 30, a closer look at the academics, arts, and athletics in the Greater La Trobe School District. My name is Mike Paremka. I'm the assistant superintendent at Greater La Trobe, and I'll be your host this Saturday, the first Saturday of every month, here on the Westmoreland Saturday Morning, 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, AM 910 WXJX, and worldwide at thisisgold.net. The Wildcats 30 this month is going to feature our school solicitor, Mr. Ned Nakles. You know, every school has a school solicitor, but what I think is unique about Greater La Trobe is that for almost 60 years, the same family, the same last name, the Nakles family, has represented the Greater La Trobe School District. Mr. Nakles, good morning. Thank you for joining me here Saturday morning, taking time out of your Saturday morning to be my guest. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, Mike. Good morning to you, too, and to all your listeners. I'm a little bit nervous now that I know we're going worldwide, but we'll do our best.
That's okay. You're a worldwide kind of guy. Mr. Nakles, I noted at the beginning, since 1962, when the Greater La Trobe School District was formed, your family has represented the school district as school solicitor. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, do you know of anything like that in our area?
I really don't. My father was the one who did all the paperwork to form the school district back in the early 60s, and our law firm, through my father and then through the two of us and now through me, has been the only school solicitor for Greater La Trobe this whole time. And quite frankly, that is unusual. School solicitors are only as good as the board feels about them. So I'm honored that we've been able to maintain the school board's confidence all these years, and it's always been a pleasure to work for the school district.
Let's talk a little bit about your background. You are a Greater La Trobe graduate, is that correct?
I graduated in 1975, and I assure you, Greater La Trobe School District was a little bit different back then, or maybe I should say it's extraordinarily different now.
On to St. Vincent College.
St. Vincent College, I graduated in 1979, and then I graduated from the University of Dayton School of Law in 1982. So I'm in my 39th year of practice.
What is the role of a school solicitor? Folks that listen to this show, sometimes I try to give them an inside look into the goings on in a school district. We've talked to the athletic director, we've talked to the superintendent, we've talked to, you know, just about everybody who has a role in this district. What does a school solicitor do?
Well, the word solicitor is an old English term, and it's kind of interesting because in England, a solicitor, an attorney can either be a solicitor or a barrister. The barrister tries court cases while the solicitor helps prepare the court cases and brings the clients to the barrister. So traditionally in England, a solicitor did not do a lot of trial work. My whole practice almost is trial work, except when I'm working as a solicitor for the school district. But basically, a solicitor is the legal representative to the school board, and by extension then to the school district and the school district administrators. But legally, I represent the school board and the wishes and directives of the school board.
Does it help when we go back to the fact that your father first and now you have represented the district for that period of time? Does it help that you have that history of, you know, almost 60 years behind you?
Well, I think it does. On every school board, there's usually a member who may have served, you know, between 15 and 30 years, and we sort of call them the historian. And the historian is a very valuable board member because, believe it or not, we see the same problems over and over again. We see the same issues over and over again, and we deal with either the same people or the same type of personalities over and over again. So it really helps to have somebody that we can go back to as a reference who we would call the historian. And since Mrs. Elder left the board, I'm sort of the historian now, due to the number of years that I've been working as a solicitor. And yes, it really helps. We know the issues, we know the people, we know the personalities. I still have all of my files. We maintain them. When things happen, I can go back to old files, look at how we handled things. But I do believe that continuity, as well as community rapport and community involvement by the solicitor, are very important.
One thing that neither your father nor you have had to deal with, but you've had to deal with for the last year, is COVID and a pandemic. Has that thrown a curveball at you as a school solicitor in any way?
Yeah, it's like three curveballs at the same time.
You're a baseball guy, so I can throw a baseball reference at you.
Well, it's like a curveball and a knuckleball at the same time.
Okay.
It's been very challenging, but I'm not complaining because not to light you up, but I think it's been 10 times as challenging for the administrators that I work with as for me, because they're the ones that are in the trenches every day and dealing with the day-to-day things. My job is to worry about them. But yeah, it's been unlike anything that we ever knew. The main issue of balancing staff and student safety with the need to get students educated and the danger and detriment to students when they have to stay home and they can't go to school, trying to find that balancing has just been an extraordinary task for everybody. And, you know, we're basically learning a whole new set of rules and laws that don't come down, you know, once every 5 years like the public school code, but generally, you know, once every 3 or 4 weeks we get new guidance, new orders, new guidelines to follow. And how do we do that? From my perspective, and this is not just the lawyers, it's the administrators as well. I think I tell people I'm making a decision in 15 minutes. I'm making a legal decision that I normally would want at least a week to research and contemplate. So the only good news is hopefully we'll never have to do it again.
How were your, everyone says to us as school administrators, you know, the way we do business will change because of the pandemic. School will look different once we are post-pandemic, whenever that is. Do you see COVID as changing, I don't want to say your role, but what type of an impact will the pandemic have on your position as a school solicitor?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't necessarily agree with that basic premise. I've heard it from so many people that the pandemic's going to change things. I'm really old-fashioned, I think, but in my mind, we always worried as educators and as a lawyer for educators, we always worry about the effect of cyber charter schools and things like that on the school district. And I think that the one sure thing that the pandemic showed everybody is that the vast majority of children do not want to be sitting at home by themselves on a computer, and their parents don't want them sitting at home on a computer. We have learned to do synchronized education on a computer with children at home, but I honestly don't see that as the wave of the future. There obviously has always been a large technology component at Greater La Trobe, and I see that as developing and growing. But the one thing the pandemic has shown all of us, in my own opinion, and it's just my opinion, is that we all need each other, and we all need the society and the social life that we get in the public schools. Kids want to come back to school. It's funny because, you know, we always liked a snow day when we were children, and we always liked something that kept us out of school. But basically what I think we've learned is that the children want to be in school, and they want to be in school together, and so do the teachers.
Enough's enough? Is that what you're saying? You know, this is like a year's worth of snow days all rolled into one?
Yeah, I think more than that, though, I think we learned something about ourselves that that, you know, while kids may, you know, while kids may sit on a computer and they, you know, they may be on Facebook and they may be on social media platforms, at the end of the day, they still really like to be together. And I think that's a really good thing.
I agree. You're listening to the Wildcats 30, a closer look at the academics, arts, and athletics in the Greater La Trobe School District. Mike Paremka, the assistant superintendent, joined by Greater La Trobe School District school solicitor, Mr. Ned Nakles, here a part of the Westmoreland Saturday Morning on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, AM 910 WXJX, and worldwide, as Mr. Nakles noted before, at thisisgold.net. Mr. Nakles, now you represent the Greater La Trobe School District, but you also in the past have represented other school districts, and you currently represent the Derry Area School District and the Blairsville-Salzburg School District as well. Is it different dealing with different school districts? You're dealing with three boards, three superintendents. What type of challenge does that present for you?
Well, we also represent the Eastern Westmoreland Career and Technology Center, EWCTC. You know, all of the boards are different. Some are more alike than others. I'm new to Blairsville, so I'm just finding my way there. But the Derry Area School District, I find to be very similar in goals and mentality to the Greater La Trobe School District. Derry Area does not have the size of the budget that Greater La Trobe has, but they have a very warm and welcoming school district. It's a school district that, you know, the staff treats everybody the same. They probably wring the most out of every dollar that they have to spend, and it's pretty impressive what they've been able to do. So it's a different school district and a little bit different mentality, but to be perfectly honest with you, the Derry board and the La Trobe board to me are just terrific boards to be with, and obviously the EWCTC board is interesting because it's comprised of board members from La Trobe, Derry, and Ligonier. So I know six of the board members already as clients. We were just appointed at Blairsville, Salzburg, and it's a very interesting situation at Blairsville, Salzburg. And I'm enjoying getting settled in. We have a new superintendent there, and he's been very good to work with. We have a new business manager, and he's been very good to work with. So we sort of have a new bunch of folks over there, including the solicitor that's just been there for 6 months. But all in all, you know, I've never worked for a board that I didn't think was truly interested in the welfare and education of the children. And that's all you can ask for as a solicitor.
So I'm a movie guy. And it, you know, I listen to you talk about the role of a school solicitor. You know, I go to The Godfather, and I think of Tom Hagen's, and you know, he's there to advise the family. Am I correct going down that road, thinking that that's your job, is to advise the board, to advise the superintendent and the administrators to make decisions?
Well, you know, technically, what a solicitor does is give legal guidance and do the legal work for the school district. So, I mean, we have to be conversant in probably 10 or 12 different areas of law. And that is the basic requirement. But that being said, I think given my years of experience and the fact that I'm older than everybody I work with now, as the years have gone by, I've found that, you know, I've been able to give beyond the legal guidance, just some, you know, a shoulder to lean on, and what we've been through in the pandemic, a shoulder to cry on, just somebody, whether it's a board member or an administrator, can call me and vent a little bit. But I actually call it the consigliere role, like just a little bit more than the way Tom Hagen was. Tom Hagen was the lawyer for the family, but he was also a counselor. And people call lawyers by the name counselor. And so I'm available to do that and to step in and help when there's been a lot of pressure or angst or a tough situation. And I think that's important. And I think a lot of that, it's not something that every solicitor does. And frankly, it's not something that every solicitor can do, because some solicitors are from, you know, large firms who represent 14 school districts, and they're not always the same person sent into the same district. They don't know the people the same way. And a lot of them are, quite frankly, just, you know, younger kids who are starting out or in their first 10 years of practice, not their 40th year. So I think, you know, part of it is experience and gray hair. But I've found that acting in that role, I can often prevent a lot of things from becoming legal problems. And I think that's the best thing that I can do as a solicitor.
So I guess that leads me to my next question is, you know, has a superintendent or a board ever gone against your advice? And how does that work?
You know, I'm not able to think of a time that they have. I suspect it's happened, but I just can't remember it. If it has, it's only been once or twice. But I know Greater La Trobe and Derry never have. I used to represent Mount Pleasant. There might have been one or two instances, but it was never like I said, you have to do this, and they just adamantly went against my advice. It might have been, you know, settling a grievance rather than taking the grievance to court or something like that. And I don't know that even would count as going against my advice. So no, I can't think of a time they did. Everybody's been pretty respectful of my opinions.
The other question that I have for you there too is you talk about larger firms that represent school districts. You have a very successful practice outside of your work with the school district. And there are times that we as school administrators forget that, you know, your sole focus in life is not the school district. You have this whole other practice. How do you balance the fact that we as school administrators may need you on a daily basis? And there are sometimes you and I talk frequently during a week, but you have this whole other practice. How do you balance that? And is it good for you to have something other than schoolwork to do?
Well, probably 70% of my income comes from my personal injury practice. So I would say, yes, it's good to have something yes. other than schoolwork to do. The school hourly billing is probably almost one third of what I would normally bill for hourly work. Basically, what happened in my practice was we always had a large personal injury practice, and we had Greater La Trobe as a client. And over the years, the litigation and trial experience that I had as a criminal and personal injury lawyer, I was able to bring to the fore in my schoolwork for labor issues, management issues, grievances. So, you know, being a good trial lawyer actually helped as a solicitor, because in the day, not a lot of solicitors were trial lawyers. As I got older, people got interested in me as a school lawyer, and I was ultimately hired at Derry, then at the EWCTC, and then most recently at Blairsville. So I have an associate in my office, Ryan Cribbs, and between the two of us, we cover all of our meetings. Ryan does a lot of the work now for EWCTC and for Blairsville. So, you know, I definitely have help. But I'm working a lot harder than I had planned to at age 63.
Sorry.
Okay. But I tell you what I do. I mean, with my school clients and whatnot, everybody has a cell phone number. Everybody can reach me. My experience as an attorney has shown that clients are willing to be patient if you're working on something else, as long as they can reach you by phone and just know that you know that they want to reach you. So, you know, I think people are always patient when they know I'm doing something else, as long as they know I'm going to call them.
You're listening to the Wildcats 30, a part of the Westmoreland Saturday Morning here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS AM, 910 WXJX, and worldwide at thisisgold.net. Mike Paremka, the Assistant Superintendent at Greater Latrobe, alongside Mr. Ned Nakles, the School Solicitor for the Greater Latrobe School District. Mr. Nakles, what's the toughest part of being a school solicitor?
Student expulsion hearings. It's never fun to have to do legal work to exclude a student from school, but you know, in most instances, in all instances that we do it, it truly needs to be done for the safety of the other students.
We have talked about school expulsions. It is the ultimate discipline for a student, and you had just spoke earlier about the need for kids to be in school and that they want to be in school. How do you approach that then, knowing that it is the ultimate penalty for a student to pay?
Well, I think that at Greater Latrobe, and frankly at all my districts, when a student is expelled, we don't lose that student. Expulsion is just defined as being out of school for more than 10 consecutive days. So expulsions might be for 3 months, they might be for a year, and they could be permanent. But that being said, the school district never loses the obligation to educate that student, even if they're expelled. And the school districts that I work for, when a student is expelled, the school districts still stay on the ball. They watch that student. They watch that student's progress, whether it's in a online school, whether it's at the Ketterer Charter School or some other institution that the student has gone to, or whether it's through home tutoring. We don't ever give up on a kid. And so even when we do expel a student, we know who they are, we're keeping an eye on them, and we haven't given up on them. And we let that student and their family know that. So, that's some small comfort at having to do it. But a lot of the students that have been expelled have done things like bomb threats, brought drugs to school, brought a weapon to school, and you know, the ultimate safety of all the other students is paramount in those situations. So sometimes you have to take that really hard step in the present to protect the other kids in the future.
On the flip side, what's most fulfilling for you?
I do a little bit of just for fun, I go to, when we're not in a pandemic, my wife and I go to a special needs classroom once a week and have lunch and play with the elementary kids. And that's the most fulfilling for me. I've had a sort of a little brother that I started going to have lunch with at Latrobe Elementary School in third grade. And I watched him all through school and graduate and successfully become employed. And, he was really up against it in life and very successful. And I had a small part along with a lot of the people at Greater Latrobe in helping him. So those are the most fulfilling things. My wife and I have fun we go to the life skills class, and the students there, you know, help me put everything in perspective. I guess that would be the answer.
Well, that's a very good answer. You're very involved with the community. You have sponsored a Teener League team in the Latrobe Dairy Teener League for years, Nakles and Nakles. Very involved with baseball, hockey. Your family instrumental in the Art Conservation Trust. Is that important to you to maintain those community ties?
Yeah, I really think it is. From our perspective, because our law firm represents school districts, we've always tried to be active. Our if you want to call it charitable work or community involvement, has always involved children. And that's not to say that our seniors don't need help, but since we represent school boards and school districts with children, we've always kind of focused on children. So, you know, we do a lot with the sponsoring the ball team, as you said. We sponsor Derry and Latrobe's acting teams at the Night of the Stars with the musicals. And my parents, and particularly my mother since my father's death, have been very involved in the Art Trust, which as most people may know, is a beautiful art collection at the now pretty much at all of the schools in the school district. And it's a collection that the students participate in choosing paintings, raising money, and purchasing. And it's just a, it's an incredible jewel of our school district. So, yeah, I'm really proud of that. I'm very proud of my parents, and particularly the last 20 years, my mother.
All right. So I said I was a movie guy before, and we have about a minute and a half left here in our show. Who owned the Chiefs? Owns. You owned the Johnstown Chiefs for a while. Is that correct?
Yeah, we owned them outright for about 3 years, and then I owned a part of the team for about six more years. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Not necessarily a financial windfall, quite the opposite, but it was really, really a great time in my life.
I can only imagine. We have talked numerous times, but I could not let you get out of this interview without saying the phrase, "Who owned the Chiefs?"
Owns.
Mr. Nakles, I always enjoy speaking with you. I have learned a lot from you, working with you over the last 20 plus years, and I appreciate everything that you do for our school district and for our community. Thank you for taking time out of your Saturday morning to meet with me here in the Wildcats 30.
Mike, it's been a great pleasure.
That's Ned Nakles, Mr. Ned Nakles, the school solicitor for the Greater Latrobe School District, and he was our guest here on the Wildcats 30 and the Westmoreland Saturday Morning on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, AM 910 WXJX, and worldwide at thisisgold.net. For Mr. Nakles, this is Mike Peremka reminding you to listen to us the first Saturday of every month on the Wildcats 30.